Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshedarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about our memory. Be with us. Maybe we'll find a few new insights on our way to a better life. Yael, please. So today, I'd like to open the show with our childhood, about up to the age of three. Psychologists say that an average person doesn't remember anything, meaning we experience something very meaningful in our development, but at some point, everything's erased, but we do remember what to do. We remember how to eat, how to talk, how to walk, but we don't remember the experiences themselves from back then. We just know that it happened. Maybe we do know with the help of our parents, our family, that remind us about how we were as children, and it's really pleasant to hear. And I'd like to start with the question, why doesn't a person remember his early years? First of all, the memory wasn't that developed yet. Second thing is that it's incorrect that he doesn't remember. You can awaken it. You can even awoke memories from being in the womb and how things were there, and how the mind was developing. There is the memory of the cells, the memory of the organs, the memory of the body, the memory of the brain. There are many different types of memory. There is the marrow, meaning each and every cell has a memory of its own. And therefore, to say that there is a certain creature without memory, that's impossible. The only question is, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's called Rishimo, from the word Roshem, impression. This is called the memory. What is that Rishimo, that impression that exists in one or another kind of creature? But in general, in all created beings, at least in human beings, until the age of three, you don't remember things consciously. Maybe it's stored there somewhere beneath the surface, but it's not really something that we remember. According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, why don't we remember things until the age of three, more or less? I think that it's because we're not yet connected with our environment. We live inside ourselves. And therefore, when I'm not that connected to my environment, I don't influence it, I don't receive from it, this interaction's missing, then my memory works only internally. And therefore, later on, I don't need it. I simply don't use it. And this is the reason for which we don't remember our early years. Why don't I use my inner memory, but I only use my memory from that point that I start creating interactions with my environment? Because it's important for my existence. What's important? That memory in which I'm connected with others, with the environment. And why is my inner personal memory not important for life later on? Because eventually I live with myself more than with the environment. Incorrect. My life depends on the environment and not on myself. And therefore, I have to remember all that data, that information on which I was connected with one or another kind of environment and in what way. So you're saying that most of my memories aren't directly related to me? Of course they are, only regarding your connection with others. So most of my memories are related to connections, of course, and that's called life experience. If I remember that I used to eat something as a child, you know, you have these many small, sometimes even foolish memories that a person remembers and they are related to himself. Yeah. It's less important than being connected, being interconnected with other people, animals, special events. This is much more important for me and worthwhile remembering for the future. Were I to remember things from early childhood, what would that give me? We are preserving energy, like all parts of nature, and therefore we don't keep things that we don't use. So it's about saving energy. A person saves and uses only those things that can serve him in some way, either things that are pleasant for me or things that can harm me. All in all, this is what I keep. We also don't remember what happened in the time of pregnancy and when I was an embryo and so on. All these things exist, but we can't derive them. From previous incarnations, we don't remember that either. I don't want to go into that because it's complicated. Going back to the pregnancy, you're saying that everything exists, meaning everything that the embryo went through in the womb is registered inside his memory. Yeah? So a person can't extract it right now. He can't, but it's present. Where? Inside his memory. And if I could extract it, what would I discover? There's nothing about it. It's like you sometimes remember the past. Suppose I could suddenly get this information of how I was an embryo in the womb. Would that influence me? No. This is why I don't remember it? Yeah. So why does it exist? Because it's the past and nothing's erased. There's no forgetfulness. Why not? Why should there be? It's unnatural that there's something that's erased and disappears. No such thing in nature. Still, if we remember something from childhood, it's not that we really remember it, but someone tells us about it, suppose. I have many memories, but it's because my parents told me, my family told me, other people told me about things that happened. Why do those people that keep this package of memories that I had until the age of 3 is my environment, the family, other people, and it's not something that exists inside of me. Because it's not important for your current existence, and therefore you don't keep it. And that they keep it for me, because I do get this information. It's not that they keep it for you. They keep it because it exists in them as a memory that they experienced when they were already older than the age of 3. So their experience is unrelated to me. Yeah. Okay. Nowadays, we're exposed to things that we've experienced over the period of our lifetime. But actually, our life's really long. It didn't start today or from birth. Why doesn't a person see the entire process of his development? The feeling I get is that the world gives me a page from a book saying, you're on page number 90, but all the pages that came before, you don't know what happened there. You're on page 90, and go ahead. Proceed until page number 100. How will I have the information how to advance if I have only partial information? If you will want to advance, namely to connect your memory with all the other memories, then you will get everything that you need. Is it important to make this process? This is what we have to do. Can you explain some more? What is it that we have to do? We have to connect together everyone's information from all times, from everything. Yeah. Then we rise above time, periods, all these limitations. Okay. Still, what's the most important period in a person's life for him to remember? Is there something like that? Probably the childhood is less important because there he didn't act on his own. And therefore, even though that he has information from back then, but It's not something that determines his life. And so, probably from the age where he is standing on his own two feet, so to speak. But also, there are no more important or less important periods. Everything's important. Depends on how a person uses it. What does it mean to use it correctly? To connect everything that he has to others. For example, if I have certain information that I've collected, all in all, in our lifetime, we connect all the memories to one thread. It's like weaving. Every time more and more on this one thread. And this is how it is with each of us. Until it's like when you knit, we create this kind of, like, I don't know, fabric, suppose, that consists of our personal memories, but that are connected together in different forms. And so what happens is that it's not a fabric, but it's like a ball, which is entirely connected in all its parts in a way that every ring is connected to all the other rings. And this is actually what we have to do. So there's a thread with a person's personal memories, and he weaves it throughout life, and we have the weaving of all of those threads together that creates something much more multifaceted and rich. And this creation of all this together is the complete information. That's what I understand. Okay. Now I want to ask about, just one more question. What's the difference between men's memory and women's memory? Are there differences? No. Women always remember details. Men, they're... No, but it has to do with our earthly life. There's nothing special about it. I want to ask about a different subject called recall bias. There was this one research where they took a list of words and they presented those, suppose, four words to different people, and these words were associated with cold. Suppose, snow, rain, coat, and hail. And I show it to different people after some time. Ask the people what words were there on the list. So some of them remember all the words, some remember part of them, but many times people add another word that didn't exist in that list. Probably they associate it with something, meaning in our brain, we tag something as a part of reality even though that it was never there. Why does our brain work this way? It works on associations, like you say. But why is it built this way? Because all in all, we awaken pictures, events. We don't remember words. Instead of words, we have inner pictures. What each word symbolizes. And therefore, different words have different tastes for different people. So, I add my own taste to the words that I was shown? Yes. Now, when it's categorized in my memory, it's categorized as something that happened. But it didn't happen. But I feel it as though it did. So, because you're familiar with all these discernments, and you build a reality out of it. True. And then it's categorized as something that happened. Meaning, I was shown a list with words, and I added a few more words that never existed there. It doesn't matter. In your eyes, it's just supplementing that picture for it to become more stable. And in a month, I won't have the ability to differentiate between the picture that I completed and the way it really was. True. The way you depicted things is how they are. Okay, another question. Suppose a person recalls something that happened 2 years ago, some experience we had together. Suppose. After we recall it, the way our brain categorizes it, after we remembered it, and we forget about it again, and we continue with life, we actually influence that picture in our memory, meaning we had a certain picture before we recalled it, and after we recalled it, we already have a different picture of the event after it sinks back. It's a memory from the past. I mean, how can we... This is how it always is. In Hebrew, it's called Amechadesh Bechol Yom Maaseh Bereshit, meaning if you renew something, it becomes something completely new. What do you mean? When you raise that picture, you raise it into new conditions, new desires, you're new, and therefore that picture receives new characteristics. But really, really what? It's like Nietzsche said, that she recalls different pictures from her childhood. Does she recall those pictures from childhood? This is only how it seems to her. But it's what she envisions today about how things were, but not how things really were. Okay, another question. It says that the things that you remember depends on the mood that you had. Of course. How? Because the main thing for us is the impression, the degree of pleasantness, of pleasure. And how does it influence that categorized picture? The more I enjoy, the more I can keep that picture because my general desire is called the will to receive pleasure. That's interesting. I want to ask about age related to memory. If from the ages of 1 to 3 we don't remember anything, afterwards our memory develops and then we start forgetting. Meaning as we grow older, we start forgetting much of the information that we've accumulated and also our ability to accumulate new information, new memories is kind of flawed. Why is it so? We have a problem to connect to the general brain and to utilize information from there. Just like a person grows weaker over time as he grows old, also this ability weakens. Why? The desire to receive is the desire to enjoy. And the more pleasures it experiences, the more it fulfills itself. And therefore, it as if seems to us that it grows tired, grows old. But it's not because of that. It's because it has no more innovations. It already saw, it already heard, it already felt. And all the new things, it's not impressed with them because they're not new for it, for this will to receive pleasure. You know, experienced people say, same old. We went through these things already and so on. Meaning, it's not the forgetfulness, but it's the protective inner force that doesn't want to be connected to the extraction of those forms from its archive. Why? Doesn't enjoy it. Why? It's just a waste. I'm told, let's travel 2,000 kilometers from here, you'll see such things. I saw them already. I have it as if in front of my eyes right now. Why travel 2,000 kilometers? What can give an elder person a sense of renewal? It's not someone elder. We can see the same things on the younger generation nowadays. It's not a matter of age. Old, it means that he can't discover new desires. So it doesn't depend on the number of years a person lives. Of course not. What does it depend on? On the measure of one's renewal, innovation, his desire to innovate. If a person has the desire to innovate, then his mind and memory will function more sharply. Okay, I understand that this is in general, but if we're talking specifically about an older person, if he'll have the desire to, so to speak, renew himself, then maybe he'll be much sharper than a kid. But in general, we see that as a person grows older, all these ability to remember things, to extract things from your memory, all these things that have to do with the memory are kind of flawed. What? It's like preparing for death? Why death? There is no death. Why do you think that? So if you can explain, why do you see in elder people Alzheimer and things where the memory is flawed? They have no interest in anything that you can offer them. They as if lose interest. Yeah. There's no innovation. Can it be different? It can be different if a person lives such a life in which he all the time renews himself. Kabbalists, for example, they renew themselves all the time. They discover new horizons all the time, and not that picture of the world that even the younger generation want to close their eyes to. So there's no process of forgetfulness there? Of course not. So the memory of these people, even when they're old, it doesn't lose its abilities? We're not talking about old people. We're talking about Kabbalists. Yeah, those that renew, innovate themselves every time. So even when they're older, every time they renew themselves, and even after death. Wait a second, this is really interesting. So first of all, you said that if a person renews himself all the time, then his memory capacities won't be flawed? No, not in extracting from the past and not right now, online. Right? Why should his will to receive grow tired? What is there about this fatigue? What really makes the will to receive tired? That it gets no new information? But you're saying that it doesn't get new information because it doesn't want new information. Right, but someone who does want and renews himself, he's alive. And it has nothing to do with age. Of course it doesn't. I see that actually the youngsters, they don't want to live nowadays. Does it have to do anything with your health condition? Well, in the meantime, of course, there's connection. The body also makes an impact. But this is also a question. What is our body? Because it's a part of the memory. Dr. Leitman, this is too complicated. Let's not go there. Regarding what you just said, that the younger generation are growing tired, is there a kind of evolution of the memory that it changes throughout history? Suppose today and how it was 100 or 1,000 years ago. You're talking about the earthly, ordinary memory. Yeah. It depends on the way we use these things mechanically. You have more memory for one thing instead of another. It depends on what a person's engaged in. Musicians, they remember different forms, things, artists, mathematicians, everyone according to their profession, to what they're engaged in. Okay, we have 2 minutes left. Let's leap into the future. In the future, how will the human memory function? I really hope that people will start emotionally connecting with one another, and then they'll connect their memories, not the memories of the past, but the memory cells, meaning. And this connection will be for the sake of the revelation of the general memory that exists in nature, that doesn't change, and it's all renewed and connects and is steady and exists. And this is how people start feeling that they're in an infinite existence. And this is the correct existence, the true existence that we have to be in. Meaning, there's no memory, like I remember things, but I live in all states, in all times, in all qualities, in all motions, and also in everyone. I live in the upper force, in short. Last question. Today, you go to buy a computer or a phone or something. If you want for it to perform, you need a big memory. Suppose I'm telling you we have a person here that we can build a really good memory in that person. What will he be able to do that he can't do right now? A person, meaning not a computer. A person can connect to the upper mind, the upper memory, and to get all the information in connecting to it. And this memory, this force, this program called the Creator or Nature will be as one. And then what? He won't need a modem like we do to be connected from time to time, but will really live an eternal life. He won't die, he won't grow old. No, no such thing. What do you mean? Because there is no old age, there's nothing. Time doesn't exist. But the body doesn't decay. What body? The protein body. The body doesn't exist. There's only memory, a matrix. That's it. Dr. Leitman, our time's up. We'll have to get back to you on this. Thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best. Yay!